Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you mean to build firm foundations in each one of our hearts, Father. Because it is the heart, O God, that radiates the love that you want to give us, Father. It is the heart that receives and realizes the love and the life that you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our hearts that you are seeking, O God, to found and to unveil, Father. And so, Father God, as we stand before you this morning, Father, we pray that you will manifest the foundations, O God, of your word into our hearts, bringing forth in us a deep understanding of your great love, understanding, Lord, that everything in our Christian faith is built on a relationship with you, unveiled in Christ Jesus, nurtured by the Holy Spirit, and manifested, Father, in your sovereign will, Father. So each one of us are here, chosen, anointed, appointed for a great and holy purpose, Father. And we pray for that purpose to unfold as you manifest, O God, the foundations, O God, in your word into our lives, Father. Speak the word into us, write it into our hearts, manifest the realities of your word into our hearts, and unveil from our hearts the radiance of Christ Jesus, his fullness, that will enable the word, O God, to be fully understood in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be fully understood through his faith and his love explained into our being, Father. So we pray that you will continue to release into us the word that unveils us, O God, to this great, awesome journey, O God, of relationship with the Most High God. We ask you to bless each one of us and all those who hear this tape, Father, in the understanding, O God, of your ways, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the third tape in our foundation series. In our first tape, we talked about the absolute necessity of relationship with the Lord. That everything in Christianity is built on a relationship with God. That God is not the figment of our imaginations. That through relationship, God wants to tell you that he is real, he is true, that he is there. And that he is there, and you are called to receive and realize a relationship with him. You are called to receive and realize a walk with him. So that you will know his heart, you will understand his heart. Last week we talked about how God opens that relationship to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about what the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ really means. What is it God has given us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that enables this relationship with God to manifest? And we said that through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his life and his testimony, God developed a blueprint for a new man. And in that blueprint, he expressed a nature, a character, he expressed a faith, he expressed a love, he expressed a personality, he expressed a thinking process, he expressed a total testimony that we are called to receive and realize. When that testimony is received and realized, it manifests change inside of us. And as that change comes into us, we come alive to the fact of God's persevering love with us. And in that process, we realize a relationship with God. So we are here, people with so many weaknesses, so many flaws in our character. And God is in the process of building a relationship with us through changes that he brings into our life. And it's very important for us to understand that this is a very personal relationship unveiled in the peculiarities of your nature, your character, your being, your situations, your circumstances, your thoughts. And God is there to work a new beginning in your life, to work a new reality into your life. And as that new reality manifests inside of you, you will come alive to the fact that God is indeed real. That he is not a religious person. He is a living being. He is your God. And he wants you to know him. And he wants you to unveil your life in the knowledge of him. He wants you to discover him in your actual life, in the practical things you do every day, in the intimacy of your thoughts, your emotions, your hang-ups, your weaknesses, your character flaws. All those things that you feel that you can't do, you can't handle, you can't understand. God wants you to know and understand that He is there to help you through. That if you want to discover life, that life exists in God. That life has to be received and realized from God. That God is the person who is going to develop your life in every step of the way. And He wants you to know and understand that. God does what you cannot do. So if you have a problem, the first person you address is God. Whether it's in your studies, you can't understand something in your medical books or whatever it is you're studying, or in your chemistry books. So take it to the Lord. Ask Him to expand your heart and your mind. If you have a problem in your profession, take it to the Lord. If you have problem with your staff, if you have problems with your colleagues, the first person who can give you favor is the Lord your God. Ask God. Ask God to shed His light in your situations and circumstance. Ask God to be with you, to enable you, to empower you, to energize you, to give you favor with your kids, to give you favor with your spouse. The favor of the Lord is so very important to each and every one of us. There is so much God wants us to discover. He wants us to discover a brand new life in God. And the life that God wants to bring into you, you know nothing about. It is entirely 100% brand new. It is beyond your intelligence, it is beyond your capabilities, it is beyond all of your talents. God is bringing something entirely new. And this is what you must understand out of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God has given you the fullness of Jesus Christ to discover a brand new reality, to discover a brand new life, to discover a new tomorrow, to discover new skills, to discover a new mindset, to discover a new nature, to discover new emotions, to discover a brand new personality, to discover courage, strength, conviction, to discover righteousness, to discover the reality of being holy unto God, to see the hand of God move through your life, to see yourself rise as an anointed vessel of the living God, chosen for a great and holy purpose in all eternity. You're not a creature of chance, and you're not living based on chance. That you are living based on a divine plan that God the Father has over your life. But that divine plan can only be unveiled in you in conformance to Christ Jesus. God cannot bless a snake. Right? We cannot unveil as anointed snakes. We have to unveil as children of the living God. So inside of you, there are two things that are happening inside of you. There's a part of you that says, I want God. There's a part of you that says, I don't want God. The thing to understand is that the part that says, I don't want God, has to be removed from your being. Now who does that? God does that. The process by which He does that is called a circumcision. He circumcises your heart and removes from your heart that which is unclean. You see, all of your Christian faith is going to be developed from your heart. If your heart is in the right place, everything in your life will be in the right place. When you are born again, God opens to you a new heart. And today we want to talk about that. Because God opens a relationship with you through a reality that the Bible calls born again. You are born again. And today we want to talk about what that really means to us in our quest to discover a relationship with God. To me, all things are founded on a relationship with God. If you don't have a relationship with God, you have nowhere to go. We are not teaching a religion, because a religion is purposeless. There are so many religions in the world. You can pick and choose a whole suite of them to suit you. Right? You can create one for yourself too, if you're smart enough. Right? All you have to do is believe. Right? Do your own thing. Right? That's what they teach us in management school, isn't it? You can do anything you set your mind to. Sure. You can build an idol to yourself. But you need to understand that the Lord your God says that every idol will be destroyed one day. All right? So you can challenge that statement and spend a lifetime doing it and see the destruction that comes forth from that. Or you can bow before God and say, lead me. Enable me to find a new life. Enable me to discover what you have for me. All right? So God deals with us through a reality of us being born again. Being born again is a spiritual reality. And I want you to understand right off the bat that spiritual realities are practical realities. You know, when you get angry, that is spiritual too. The wrong kind of spiritual. When you lust after a woman or you lust after a man, that is also spiritual. The wrong kind of spiritual. So you will find that things spiritual are real to us every day of our lives. That the affairs of man are birthed in things spiritual. That spiritual things control the hearts of man. Spiritual realities control the affairs of man. When people hate each other, that hatred is spiritual. So this word spiritual is there all the time in all of our lives, whether you're working in the office, whether you're studying, whether you're relating to your wife, there are always spiritual realities of alive that dictate how you relate. Why is it you dislike certain kinds of people? You cannot even explain it. You don't even know the guy. Right? Why do you resent one child versus another child? Why do you love one child more than another child? Why does a marriage built on two people who seemingly are in love with each other end in divorce 1 year later? There are spiritual things involved. Hate, anger, discord are all spiritual realities. Lying, cheating, ambition are all spiritual realities. So when we talk about spiritual things in the Bible, we are talking about spiritual things that stand in the will of God. And those spiritual things that stand in the will of God, if received and realized, will bring into you different dimensions of life than what you see around you. You can live differently, you can think differently, you can relate differently, you can have a different kind of marriage, you can have a different kind of children too. You can have a successful career that stands in the strength and power of God. You can have a successful business that God has built. His standards are higher, but what He builds lasts. What He builds is in the abiding. What He builds unfolds great purposes. There is one spirit that is the spirit of selfishness that says, I want, I want, I want, I want, and I must have, and I must have, and I must have. That can bring you wealth. But there is another spirit that is of God that says, give and it will be given to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. There is another spirit that talks of a different economy. It is a different prosperity message. It's a prosperity message that unfolds from the heart of God who is your Father and God who says, I am by name your provider. I can provide all things necessary for your life, absolutely. So we are talking about spiritual things. And the things spiritual that open to us from God come to us when we are born again. God manifests in us a new reality. Let's turn to John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus is in this passage talking to a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who was an honest man of integrity. And he came to see the Lord. And he tells the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 2, Rabbi, you know that you have come, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So, Nicodemus sees Jesus in entirely superficial terms. He sees him on the external. He sees him as a man doing great signs, and so he says, this guy must be from God. That's on the outside. But Jesus then takes him into another dimension, and he says in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To be born again is to receive a new spiritual reality. And unless you are born again, you cannot see the things of God. So Jesus says, you must be born again in order to be able to enter into what God calls his kingdom. What God is building as a reality that will one day fill the universe. Which is what the flow of scripture is all about. The unveiling of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God will manifest on the earth. Let's turn to the book of Revelation. Chapter 11. This is a vision that the Apostle John saw when he was taken up into heaven. And in verse 15 of chapter 11, we see this. And the seventh angel sounded, and there arose loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshipped God. Right? They fell on their faces and worshipped God. Alright? The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God. So John sees that in heaven. He sees it in a vision that God so shows him. He sees it in dimensions that no human being has experienced before. Far more than any of the prophets of the Old Testament experienced it. John experienced a reality in the Spirit of God that was far ahead of anything that the great prophets of the Old had seen. Elijah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah. John sees a reality that is far higher. And one of the reasons why John was chosen to see all that was because he had a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one disciple. He was the one apostle who did not run away. His love for Jesus was greater than his fear of the Romans or his fear of the Jewish people. John was the apostle who has writings that don't talk about himself. They only talk about God. So John was a man with a heart after God. So God tells him this. And what John is confirming was seen by another person, was a prophet of old called Daniel. If we turn to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 2, verse 2, chapter 2, Daniel interprets a dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had seen. And in part of that dream, in that dream he sees the rising of empires. Empires that will reign on planet earth. In verse 44, he makes a statement here that is very important for us to understand. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. Inasmuch as you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future. So the dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. So he sees the establishment of a kingdom. But this is not a kingdom that is manifested in natural terms. This kingdom is a spiritual reality. The reality of this kingdom is to be manifested from the hearts of men and women. It is a kingdom that is going to be built based on a relationship with the living God. It's a kingdom that is going to stand forever and forever. It's going to be sustained by God. It's going to be developed by God. It's going to be manifested by God. It is God's kingdom. And so when you are born again, God opens you to the fact that there is something called the kingdom of God, and that kingdom of God has a different reality from the kingdom of the world. I don't want you to get this wrong idea, that the kingdom of God demands that you run off somewhere into some mountain, sit under a coconut tree and meditate the rest of your life away. That is not what it's about. What God is telling you is that this kingdom unveiled in your heart has to be lived in the kingdom of the world. And it has to be manifested through your life in this kingdom of the world. And as you manifest this kingdom through your life, others will know and understand that you are marching to a different beat. You are living in a different reality. You are walking in a different plane. You are seeing things in a different light altogether. That you have success defined on different parameters. That you have wealth and standing in society built on different parameters. Not out of manipulation, not out of greed, but out of a servant's heart. So this kingdom is a kingdom built on people who have a heart to serve God, a heart to belong to God, a heart to see the purposes of God unfold. So this is what God is inviting you to understand. He's not bringing you into a religious experience. He's bringing you into a living reality, a new living reality that is practical and applicable in everything that you do every day. It is applicable and practical to your overeating, to your anger, to your prejudices, to your pride. Right? It has an answer. It has a different lifestyle to gluttony. It has a different lifestyle to the manifestation of pride. It has a different lifestyle to greed. It unfolds a new life built on different parameters. No longer is there gluttony, there is always enough. No longer is there wealth just for the sake of wealth, but wealth for the sake of application for a useful purpose. That the wealth becomes a blessing to the people in amongst whom we live in, or live with. We become a blessing. And as the blessing grows, the multiplication of the wealth also takes place. That you stand up and occupy positions of authority in government and in business, so that you will manifest a different kind of authority. An authority built on justice, an authority built and manifested on the love of God. An authority manifested with the power of God, with the favor of God. That no matter who comes against you, they will not prevail. No matter what happens to you in your life, you will still come out of it victorious. Are you listening? So Jesus is talking about this new reality, and it's a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual reality that is entirely different from the spirit of the world. And so you must understand, you have received a kingdom that is indestructible. Amen. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. The key word here is that this kingdom which cannot be shaken. You know, so many things in life shake. In the limited life that you have lived, you've already seen so many things in your life shake. God is saying, build things on a foundation that will not shake. Hello. Empires of old have passed away. Empires at their zenith look like they will be there forever. And today they are no more. Great men who thought they had all authority. And today they are no more. They are irrelevant. But what God is making is something different. He is bringing forth a kingdom that is going to stand, it's going to be abiding. And this is the key to your life. Unfold that which God has called you to unfold. Go out courageously and possess the land. Stand tall. Unveil a different world. Unveil a different reality. Unveil, right, something brand new. Let the world see a different light. Let your life testify that God is great. Let your life testify that God is love. Let your life testify that all power rests in God. So when Jesus makes the statement, you must be born again, he's saying, God must first do something inside of you that will enable you to become a citizen of this kingdom. Are you listening? So you must be born again. You cannot just come into a church and become a member of the church and think that you are part of the kingdom of God. It doesn't work like that. I can't make you a citizen of the kingdom of God. Only God can do that. And he opens that citizenship in your heart. So when God opens that citizenship of his kingdom into your heart, he is telling you, you make sure you value it. You make sure you value it, because I've opened something inside of you that can give a new life. And I also want you to develop this citizenship in the kingdom of God. Because with this citizenship, I have given you a covenant. And I want to develop that covenant in your life so that you will know and have things in your life that will be a blessing. You must develop this covenant that I have with you through your life. I want to develop it with you so that you will be able to occupy a position where you will shine with my glory, says the Lord. Are you listening? So when you are born again, God begins a supernatural work inside of you, and he's opening to you a vast tomorrow. All right? So what does it mean to be born again? What does God do with you when you are born again? Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel. Now Jesus talked about being born again, but the prophet Ezekiel, 650 odd years before that, wrote about what Jesus would speak about. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. And this is what the Lord God announces through the prophet Ezekiel. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Right? Put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. God tells us something very important here. He says, I will give you a new heart. Where are you really situated? What is the operating system of your being? It is called your heart. Now, when you become a born-again Christian, you come alive to three parts in your being. You have a new spirit, you have your soul, and you have your body. Now, you will find that a born-again Christian is the only person who has a spirit being, a spirit man, which is why every religion in the world will talk to you about the soul. They will talk about things spiritual, but there is no such reality as a spirit man in them. A spirit man is only given to you when you are born again. And the spirit man is designed for one and only one thing: to commune with God. You see, when Adam fell, the Bible says, right, that his spirit was cut off. So you need to understand, you have been given a new spirit. And Jesus went to the cross to manifest the blueprint of that new spirit. God has manifested that spirit into you. And he says here, I have given you a new heart and a new spirit. So a new dimension to your being has been birthed, which is why when you are born again, you come alive to the things of God. You suddenly know that this is the truth. Before that, you didn't have a clue of what was the truth. Nicodemus saw what Jesus was doing, And from the outside, he analyzed it and said, nobody can do this unless God is with him. That was a superficial viewpoint. But now, you who are born again, know inside of your heart that God is real. You know inside of your heart that God has opened to you a brand new life. You know inside of your heart that new desires have been birthed inside of you. Something brand new has been born again. Where did that reality come from? It came through the new spirit and new heart that God has given you. And that's what it means to be born again. You have a new spirit and you have a new heart. You have the potentials of a brand new life. And the purpose of the Bible is to develop those potentials in the name of Jesus through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. In fulfillment of God your Father's will. Have you got that? The purpose of the Bible is to develop this new part of your being that has come alive in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit for the purposes of your Father in heaven. Amen. So your job is to respond to God's intent in giving you this new birth. In giving you this new birth, God has opened to you a salvation reality. He has opened to you a process that He wants to develop in your life and bring to life through His Word. He wants to take that Word and define it into your being. He wants to take realities that are inside that book and He wants to put it inside of you and make it live inside of you, make it become part and parcel of this new creation that He's in the process of unveiling. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So in that process of unveiling His salvation, God is going to build a relationship between you and Him. A relationship that is going to be developed in the peculiar situations and circumstances of your life. In the reality of the relationships that you have with people who are around you. In the reality of your workplace, in your business place. In the reality of your colleges and your schools, in the reality of the playing field. You see, being born again is not setting up a new religion. Being born again is to bring you into a relationship with God where you learn how to live in God, by God, and through God, and above all, for God. So that's what you must understand and take hold of in your heart. God is making an invitation, and this book is about that invitation. And the purpose of us who are preaching the gospel is to explain that invitation to you so that you can receive that invitation, realize that invitation, and manifest the fruits of that invitation in your life so that you will be a blessing. And you will be a blessing forever and forever and forever. It's a great privilege. It is also a great responsibility. But you must understand the privilege and the responsibility are all the work of God. It is He who is going to cause you to walk in His ways. That's why He says in that passage where we read that He will give us a new heart and a new spirit, He also says, I will put my spirit within you and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. As God causes you to do new things with your life, you will unveil a relationship with God. And every new thing that God opens in your life gives you a new dimension of new life. Are you with me? The key to developing this reality of being born again is to invite God into every aspect of your life. To look at your life frankly and say, God, I've made a mess of it. There are things in me that are not right. There are relationships that I have entered into that are not right. I have married my wife and my attitude and my relationship with her is not right. Oh Lord, can you change that? Can you make my marriage work? I'm a successful professional, but I'm more a thief than a professional. I have made my career out of stepping on other people. Can you change that profession that I have and make it built on new foundations? Make it shine with a new light. Can I be a blessing instead of being a curse? Can I be a person of integrity instead of being a thief dressed up in a three-piece suit? Can I be a businessman who is a blessing to this nation instead of one who just steals and steals and steals and keeps things for myself? Are you listening? Can I manifest spheres of influence that will teach others to live a better life instead of to teach them to be a crook like me? Can I bring forth a new life? Can I bring forth a new reality? That's what it's all about, guys. Christianity is not about the Christian religion. It's about a walk with God. It's about a realization of a life with God. And God is asking you whether you will be prepared to walk into such a life. That's the challenge. You know, in modern management talk, they always talk about challenges. Challenges that so often give you something for a short while, and then what you have realized by answering those challenges ultimately disappears. But every challenge in God unveils something inside of you that will last forever. Everything that God makes you do on the outside always has something built on the inside. And this you must understand, that every success that God takes you into on the outside, that success would have its roots on the inside. And while what is on the outside may pass away, what is on the inside remains and it grows. It comes with you forever. Even if you drop dead tomorrow morning, it will go on with you. Are you listening? So that's what God is all about. Building the kingdom from the insides of man. That's why the Bible says that the kingdom of God is within us. See, what God establishes on your outside is built on your inside first. The foundations to everything that is outside of you is built on what is inside of you. And that's what the kingdom of God is all about. And you are called to rise to the challenge. If you do not know how to read, God is asking you, why don't you learn how to read? And I will help you read. I will teach you read. I'll teach you to read. And you're saying, oh, I'm 50 years old already, you know. Can I learn? And God is saying, you can always learn. I don't understand the language. And God says, you can learn the language. See, God is talking to you in the peculiar situations and circumstances of your life. He says, let me teach you. One of the greatest evangelists of the 20th century was a man called A.W. Tozer, who never had the opportunity to go to school. So the first time he started learning something was in his late teenage years. When Tozer died, he was considered to be a scholar of English. And Tozer took Shakespeare before God and he said, teach me Shakespeare. And God taught him Shakespeare. God taught him the English language. And Tozer wrote many books. He had his own radio program and things like that. God blessed him. That's what it's all about, guys. Your willingness to see the greatness of God and understanding that what I cannot do, God can do. What I cannot understand, God can make me understand. At first, these things may seem difficult. Why? Because there's a battle. There are two natures inside of you. One attuned to God and one that stands against God. And that's where the battle is all about. And you have to make a choice. Do you realize that all of the battles of life involve making choices? And if you make the wrong choice, you will live by the consequences of that wrong choice. But if you make the right choice, there is an abundance waiting for you to discover. So what God is telling you as you come into the kingdom of God is, my son and my daughter, I have great potentials for you. I have an ambition over your life. The sum total of my thoughts over your life are great. Now, for you to have great thoughts and for me to have great thoughts, that's no big deal. But for God, the great God, to have great thoughts, that's a different ballgame altogether. Brethren, the purpose of being born again is to discover that God is real, and to develop that reality in your life is what salvation is all about. As the reality of God grows inside of you, you are saved. As the reality of God grows inside of you, He begins to reign in your heart. He begins to reign in your thoughts. He begins to reign in your attitudes, your intents, your emotions, your nature, your character, your thought processes. And behold, you unfold what the Bible calls a brand new creation. So in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it said that you are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus. See, Christ Jesus is the blueprint, and we introduced that last week. So, in Christ Jesus, God has given you a character you don't have, a nature you don't have, a personality that is all that you don't have. He's given you a faith that you don't have. He's given you a love that you don't have. He's given you, right, a thought process that you don't have. You have a whole new world. But it will take time to develop it. Why will it take time? Because it involves your free choice. It involves your willing response. You see, in the message last week, we said that the great battle is for the will of man. How do I will to do what I don't want to do? How do I do what I don't want to do? I know I should be doing it, but I don't want to do it. What is the answer to that? The answer to that is a new thinking, a new nature, a new character. And that's what Jesus brings into your life. That's why God sent Him into the world, to manifest a blueprint of a new person who will live differently, think differently, act differently, walk in a different reality. Are you listening? And the question God is posing before all of us is, do you want it? In John chapter 1 verse 16 and verse 17 in the New American Standard, it reads, "For of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." Where are you going to find this new tomorrow? It has to be realized in grace and truth that comes to you through Jesus Christ. What is grace? Verse 16 says that grace is the fullness of Jesus Christ. What is truth? Truth is that which sets you free. Amen? So can you change? Yes. Why can you change? Because all change comes by grace. It does not come because of your achievements. It does not come because of your hard work. It comes through grace. It is something you receive from God and you realize from God, and He builds it inside of you. I will cause you to walk in My statutes. I will cause you to do what you find impossible to do. And you have to discover that. You cannot just hear it from a message. You have to walk into it. You have to live it. If something is going to be yours, you have to live it. So the Bible is asking you to live God in your lives. God is real. Discover it in your life. Your life. Discover it as you listen to what God has for you through His Word. So the Bible is written so that you will discover what God has for you. And what God has for you is a brand new life. So you must be born again. And most of you here are born again. Praise the Lord for that. But you got to appreciate what God has given you. God has opened to your heart in you being born again something that all the religion in the world could not do. God has opened inside of your heart the potentials of a brand new life that is to be developed and realized in God, by God, through God, and for God. You have to make a choice. Now, the difficulty in life is making that choice, because there's a part of you that doesn't want it. There's a part of you that wants to be independent of God. All of us have that nature. And there's a part of you that comes from your born-again being that says, I want God. In being born again, God has given you a new witness inside of you that says, I want the things of God. Now, the key to your growth in your Christian life is to feed that part of your being that says, I want God. And to walk away from that part of your being that says, I want to do my own thing. Sometimes it comes and says, I want God on my terms. If God wants me, He's going to have to respond to me on my terms. Hello. That's what leads to a religious spirit. But that's not what we want. We do not want a religious spirit. We want to live a brand new life. We want to live in a relationship with God, where God is real to us in everything that we become, in everything that we do. So that as we grow, we realize that this came from God. He has established it. I know it is real, it is tangible, it is abiding. Nobody can take that away from me. So remember this, brethren, as God builds foundations inside of you, He's building foundations that will remain. So be smart and make the choice, even when you don't want to make the choice. How do you make a choice that you don't want to make? Take it in prayer to the Lord and tell Him, Lord, I know I should be doing this, but there is a part of me that does not want to do this. Change me and help me. Are you with me? Now, apart from being born again, there is another reality that God wants to bring inside of you. He wants to bring inside of you the reality of His Holy Spirit. Now, in the Christian faith, we call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit indwells you and you have a gift of tongues that can energize realities in God within your being. Let me explain that. You see, in Christ Jesus, God unveiled a nature that fully wanted to do what God wanted done. You and I have a nature that doesn't want to do what God wants done. So the key is to energize into our being that desire in the heart of Jesus that will enable us to do what we don't want to do. We will talk about those things later, but at this point in time, you need to understand that God is going to take you from being born again. He's going to lead you into a relationship with Him. He's ultimately going to teach you in that relationship how to draw from Him. All right? So, when you hear Christians pray in tongues, the real reason for praying in tongues is to have the ability to energize from God what you need in your life. To energize from God what you need in your life. So, tongues is a gift. It's a gift to enable you to energize things hidden in God that your being needs. So when that newness comes inside of you, it manifests in you a new life. It enables you to do what you would otherwise not be able to do. Again, all these things involve the handiwork of God. And you must understand that. It is all an expression of grace upon grace. You know, sometimes we want God to change everything in one moment. God can do that. But the problem is, in order to change something, He's got first to change you. And we forget that. We just think, oh Lord, give me a big business. But God says, I cannot give you a big business if you behave like the way you are doing right now. Or you may say, God, give me a big ministry. After all, I want to serve you. And God says, with your character, I cannot trust you with a big ministry because you will ruin it. It So that's the part you have to battle through, waiting on God to bring forth what He has to bring forth inside of you, to trust Him for what He wants to give you. It will take time. The reason it will take time is you. It is you. It is your nature and my nature. Because nothing can be abiding if you don't want it and if I don't want it. So that's what you must understand. You cannot do what you don't want to do on a sustained basis. You can force yourself to do things that you don't want to do for a time and for a season. But you can't keep doing it if you don't want to do it. So that's what the battle is all about, and that's what God perseveres with you. That's why He says, I will cause you to walk in my ways. I will cause you to walk. In causing you to walk, He is building inside of you essentially a new will, a new desire, a new intent, a new attitude, a new character, a new nature. Listen to those words and understand that it is a labor of love. And as God works those things inside of you, you will surely know that God is real. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that we are born again. And we thank You, Lord, that in being born again, You have given us a new spirit and a new heart, Father. And Lord, the potentials of our life are immeasurable, Father, because they are vast. They are vast in the thoughts and intents of Your heart. We thank You for bringing us into this new reality. And we ask You, Lord, to persevere with us, changing our hearts, changing our mindsets, changing our character, our nature, changing our thought processes, Father, so that we will truly walk into what You have for us, trusting You for all things that are good, knowing, Father, that once we have a nature that is a reflection of the nature of Jesus Christ, we will do things that we thought we would never do. We would love things that we despised before, Father. And in making us born again, You have already shown us, O God, that we can come alive to things that we didn't want yesterday, Father. So we want to bless You and thank You for this new realization. We ask You to give us the strength that we will persevere and receive and realize what You have for us, Father. Bless each one of us here, and bless all those, O God, who hear this tape, Father. Let their hearts be open to the awesome treasure of Your grace. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen.